Hi, and welcome to The Hustle, a professional development podcast series in partnership with the MasterCard Foundation Scholars Program. I'm your host, Halle Rivera, an alum of the MasterCard Foundation Scholars Program at Wellesley College. And with this series, I will share the stories of accomplished African professionals from different backgrounds, currently working in investment banking, management consulting, big tech, and more. Each episode discusses the wide array of career opportunities and provides listeners with advice about working at top firms such as Goldman Sachs, Facebook, and Novartis. The title of this podcast, The Hustle, is an ode to my hometown of Nairobi, Kenya, which I love, and where the spirit of the hustle, hard work, and resilience shines bright. Today, I have the pleasure of hosting Melissa Karaoke, who's an Associate Product Marketing Manager at Google in Johannesburg. Prior to her current role, she earned a bachelor's degree in business management and entrepreneurship at the Africa Leadership University in Mauritius. She graduated in 2019. Her past experience has been as a strategy and innovation consultant at H&M in Berlin, an associate consultant intern at Bain, and business intern at Google in Dublin. We're so honored to have you on the podcast today, Melissa. And before we dive into your work at Google, I'm curious to know whether growing up you thought you'd be in marketing at this point in your life. What did you envision as your future career and how has that changed over time?
Great. Thank you for the introduction, Halle. And hi, everyone. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I'm excited to speak to you today. When I look back to what I wanted to be as a child, I think like every child, I went through different phases of wanting to be everything from a pilot to an air hostess to a vet. But I think the most sustained vision I had throughout my childhood was that of being an entrepreneur, specifically in the space of fashion design. So I think that's a dream that I started maybe when I was below the age of 10, and it stayed with me actually all the way until I went to university. So no, I did not foresee that I would be working in marketing.
Well, that does explain your role or your stint at H&M and also at the Connected Fashion Challenge in Berlin. Like, how did you even get into that? How did you find out about the opportunity and what kind of pushed you to pursue it?
Yeah, sure. So initially, when I was deciding what I wanted to study in university, I told my parents, you know what, I think I want to study fashion design. I was super into it. Every time someone asked me what gift I wanted for my birthday, I would say a sewing machine or some sort of sewing equipment. And it actually wasn't until my first year at the African Leadership University when I hosted a fashion show and designed a collection that I realized that, you know what, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do as a full-time profession. But I never really fully let it go. And so as I went through the years, I worked at H&M in my final year, actually. And at that point, I'd done a number of internships already. And it was like my final summer before I graduated. And I just wanted to do something that was fun. I wanted to use this time to explore and just do something different. And so I was just browsing the internet. I think at the beginning of the year, I came across this opportunity that said, you know, H&M is looking to design a wearable collection and they're looking for a variety of people with different experiences to help them do that. And I thought, this is so cool. Okay, let me put myself forward. My sewing skills were not the best, I guess, in comparison to people who had studied fashion. But I kind of just pitched myself from the strategy perspective. And that's how I got the opportunity.
Oh, wow. So no referral, just saw an online listing of a job opportunity or internship opportunity, and you kind of sent your resume and that was that?
Yeah. So finally, I always get this question of like, how do I get different opportunities? And honestly, most of the time I find them online and I put myself forward. I don't usually get things through referrals. So with this one, I remember they asked for a video in the application, and they also asked for a one pager that outlined some of our initial ideas about what the fashion collection could entail. So I think what differentiated me is that I really did put a lot of effort into my video, and I did take the time to research what ideas they could explore. And I put forward a strong application. And I think they accepted around 1-2% of applicants. So it was a long process, but
that's impressive.
We got through it.
Yeah, I mentioned at the beginning that you've done so many different internships, and you know, you've touched a bit upon it by mentioning that you thought you wanted to be in fashion design and kind of be an entrepreneur, and that explains the strategy and innovation consultant at H&M. But you also tried, you know, dipped your feet into consulting at Bain, business internship at Google. What was your thought process as you kind of pursued different internships over the years?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't have my whole career plan mapped out. I kind of just tried to figure out what I wanted my next few steps to be. And so when I started at the African Leadership University, and they said, okay, at the end of this year, you're going to have to do an internship for 3 to 4 months. And I thought, okay, what type of internship should I do? And so I went to our career development head and I said, I don't know what type of internship I want to do, but I really want to be an entrepreneur. So any industry or internship that can help me with relevant skills, that would be great. And he said, what about management consulting? And to be honest, I really had no idea what it was. I hadn't heard of consulting before, but he put that forward. And actually, what many people don't know is that at the same time, I pursued an internship at a fashion startup that was actually owned by a former McKinsey consultant in South Africa. And so what ended up happening is that I got both offers. I got the offer to be like one of the first few employees at this fashion startup, and I got the offer to intern at Bain in the South Africa office. And it was a difficult decision. But I guess, yeah, after consulting a lot of people, I just learned, and it became clear that through consulting, I could learn a wide variety of skills that would be widely applicable across industries. So I opted for consulting.
So why did you never go back?
So I did consulting in 2016. That internship was great. At the end of it, so Bain generally takes interns in their third year, so in either in your like third or final year, but they made an exception and took me in their first year, in my first year, instead of what they normally do at the end of the internship, which is give you an offer to come back when you're graduating soon. They said they'd give me an offer to come back in my third or final year to, you know, intern once again, and then if I maintained, then I could get a full-time offer. So I thought, okay, great. So in between, at the time I thought, you know what, I think consulting is great. This is probably where I'll land up, but I'll just use the time before I go back there to explore all sorts of other different opportunities. And of course they wouldn't have wanted me to do anything conflicting. So I didn't do any other consulting internships. That's why I went to Japan, I went to Google, and I just did a whole bunch of different things. And then I actually returned to Bain in 2018, the year before I graduated, to do another internship. And I think I got to a point where I felt conflicted between, do I want to go the consulting route or do I want to go the marketing route? Because I also really enjoyed my internship at Google and felt like that might be a good fit for me. And so ultimately it was a difficult decision for me to make, but when I found out about the product marketing management role during my internship, and I read more about it and I spoke to more people who had done it, it just sounded like it was a really great fit between balancing, you know, the analytical side, because we do have to consider, you know, numbers and return on investment, etc., but also incorporating a creative aspect. So, you know, thinking about marketing campaigns, thinking about connecting to users, and it just felt like a great overlap and a great fit for me. And so that's why ultimately I pursued this product marketing role in what's called the APMM program at Google.
A lot of us come into college feeling almost bound to one career path, but I think that the recurring theme with the different guests that I've had so far on the podcast is that exploring is also beneficial for ensuring that you know that you're doing something that you know is worth it for you. So
yeah, sure. So I completely resonate with what you're saying, and that exploring for me has been the way that I've been able to figure out what I want. And I always say that the first step is to figure out what you want, right? Because it's hard to achieve something that you don't desire. You know, it's hard to go further than your vision is. And so for me, I've just tried to be intentional throughout my journey to challenge myself and to expose myself to things that I don't know, that I didn't know before, and just try to like broaden my view, you know. As I said, when I had to decide on my first internship, I knew I didn't have the information to decide on that. And that's why I consulted someone who could give me input. And I think from there, I just always kept asking myself, okay, what can I do next that will challenge me? What can I do next that will excite me? And I know that sometimes, especially as you're in university, and even as you get closer to finishing, there can be this pressure to know exactly what you want, to know which company you're going to work for, and just what your next 5, 10, 50 years will look like. But I try to not put that pressure on myself. And I just say to myself, you know, figure out the next thing that you want. And if that next thing that you want, you pursue it and you get it, and then you don't want it anymore, that's okay as well. But for me, it's like through that journey of setting a goal, achieving it, okay, setting a new goal, achieving it, altering the process. That's how I'm able to refine myself and get closer and live in a way that's true to me and exciting. And yeah.
And now to, I guess, what the guests really want to hear about is, you know, what's your role as an associate product marketing manager at Google? What do you do?
Okay, yes. So I normally, when people ask me what I do, I say I work in product marketing, and I normally get a confused look, like, what is product marketing? It's essentially just what it sounds like. It's like marketing when you focus on a particular product. In my case, I focus on two Google products, which are Google My Business, which is, you know, when you search restaurants near me or something near me, and then you see like those restaurant names pop up. Those are Google My Business profiles. And they actually don't just miraculously pop up there, as I learned.
Interesting information.
We have to be quite intentional about getting businesses on there. And the other product that I work on is Google Ads. So because I am based in South Africa and have a focus on sub-Saharan Africa, a lot of my focus is just on working with businesses that are offline and just getting them online and getting them to grow their online presence and be able to find new customers and ultimately be able to grow their businesses. So my day-to-day, it's honestly a whirlwind. I guess I joined Google at a very interesting time, as you know, 3 months into my job, it was working from home. It was like complete strategy shift because we have to, you know, just adapt to COVID. But I've really, I think, thrived in the ambiguity and just the uncertainty of what we do. So I don't really have a typical day-to-day, but I'd say that if there's an underlying theme that that encompasses my work, it's always just about helping small and medium-sized businesses to grow and to flourish and to just grow online and get new customers. And so we try to do that in a variety of ways. We try to adapt to the environment and what's needed. So at this time, it's, you know, businesses recovering from the negative effects of COVID.
So why work at Google? Because I think I had mentioned this to you when a lot of us think about big tech like Google, and I had another guest previously who works at Facebook asking the same question. When we visualize big tech, we think of, you know, just programmers. So how did you even learn about non-tech roles at Google? I know you'd mentioned a little bit about your career services at ALU. I'm curious to know if they're the ones who kind of pointed you to those opportunities. But then you also did mention that you had taken time to speak to people about this kind of role. So I'm curious about, like how you found out about it, what pushed you to do it, and the importance of speaking to different people in the industries that you're interested in.
Yeah, sure. Happy to share. So generally, the way I go about things is that I think of a really large goal, and then only after that, I try to figure out how to attain it. So sometime after my internship at Bain, one thing that made, you know, the long hours fun and just like the all-consuming culture of consulting, what made it bearable was just that Bain has a great culture. And so I think I was very cognizant of the fact that that culture is important and it can make your work and your day-to-day life fun. So I thought to myself, you know what, I want to work at a company that has a great culture. And obviously I knew about Google, I'd watched the movie The Internship, and then I just had this idea of like, oh my goodness, it would be great to do an internship at Google. And I remember saying this to my auntie and my cousin of like, you know what, I really want to intern at Google. And they were kind of just like, oh, okay. And my auntie mentioned it to my uncle. And then he said, oh, you know what, I know someone who knows someone who used to work at Google. So, you know, maybe I could set up a phone call with between you and them. And I was like, okay, great. And I was so excited. And I just went online. I spent all this time just like researching how to do like a great cover letter, how to do a great resume. And I remember like I designed this resume and I wrote this cover letter and I like used the Google colors and my name. And I was like, okay, cool. And I emailed it to the guy before and we scheduled a phone call. Then we had the phone call and he told me about his experience at Google. And he just said, yeah, you know, cool. You should go for it. And I was like, okay, that's it. I was like, well, what happens now? Are you gonna send my resume to HR or where do we go mm-hmm. from here? But no, that wasn't the case. So I guess this was me learning that, you know, I kind of just had to figure it out. So I went online and I looked up internships at Google and I saw they had this role called the business intern. And I was like, well, here I am studying business. This is a business internship position. Let me try, right? So what was interesting is that the way my school term was currently scheduled, my internship period was in the fall, but the internship that I was targeting was in the summer. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know what? I will find a way to make this work. I'll find a way to make this work. Let me just apply. So I applied. I had to do some sort of like aptitude test, you know, submit a resume. And I honestly just went through the process. And and then at some point, you know, they had an opening in the South Africa office and in the Dublin office, and they asked me which one I would prefer. And I thought, why not go somewhere I've never gone?
Yeah.
So I chose Dublin, and yeah, then that is how I got that internship.
Yeah,
I just found it online and applied.
Yeah. No, congrats on your proactivity. And it's, you know, it's also visible in you taking some online classes in marketing prior to starting out, I think. I'm curious, what prompted you to take the online class, one? And two, how do you even figure out what's a good online class? Because there's lots of resources out there, but deciding what's useful and what's relevant is also a challenge. So I just wonder, what was your thought process behind the specific course that you took, or even just like taking online classes? Why did it matter that you had to go in with some sort of technical knowledge?
Yeah, sure. So I think I've always had an interest in marketing. Mm-hmm. And when I started my degree at ALU and they kind of shared like the whole course syllabus for a whole degree, I noticed that there wasn't like enough of a focus on marketing or any real focus on marketing. And so initially I was a bit frustrated and disappointed. And then I decided, well, I'm just going to supplement that with online learning. So I went to Coursera, which is my favorite. And I looked for different marketing courses. And in terms of how I decided which ones, I would look at a combination of who is teaching the class. And so, you know, some of the classes that I took on marketing were by authors of like books that I had known of and read of before, and that had been considered best-selling books with really powerful theories. So I'd do that, but I'd also just always make sure to take it at a credible institution. So most of the courses I've taken are at Wharton or the University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I did, you know, at the time, I didn't want to ask my parents for money for these courses, and I really couldn't afford them. So I used to just apply for Coursera scholarships. So at Coursera, if there's a course that you're doing and you want them to fund you, you can like apply for that. And, you know, if you just write them a great story about how this course is going to change your life, they will fund the course. So that's what I did. And it was just a great way for me to follow my curiosity. I didn't really put a lot of pressure on it. It was just something that I wanted to learn more about. And so mm-hmm. I did.
And did you find it useful?
Yeah, I think it was useful. I wouldn't say that I got any particular internships or jobs because of doing that course. I'm not sure if it's something that ever really came up. I would say that what's been the most useful for me in terms of getting internships and even, you know, getting my first internship when I had no prior formal work experience is just outside projects that I've done. But the course was useful to me just in terms of helping me think, you know, teaching me how to think about certain things.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You mentioned your outside projects. And I think my question is, when should students start to think about internships and how can they curate a good, what's it like, a good portfolio or a good profile before they apply for any roles or internships or jobs?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll start by saying that, you know, the first resume is always the hardest, right? Mm-hmm. I remember having to do a resume in my first year and being like, I'm in my first year. I really do not know what you want me to say. I think that was like my initial reaction. I know that's a lot of people's initial reaction of feeling like I don't have anything to put on here. But then I think from that, I just try to broaden it. And what I do, like even until this day, in addition to including, you know, formal work experience, I also just include experience about different projects that I've worked on, or different initiatives that I have led. And sometimes even like in my very first resume, I referenced kind of like school projects that I've particularly performed well. And I think what the key thing to do when you're trying to position yourself and sell yourself in your resume is, one, to make it clear what your unique contribution was. So great, the team might have achieved this, but what was it that you did that enabled the team to do that? And two, it's always really important to include numbers as far as possible that can illustrate your impact. So even if your experiences with being a barman, but you've worked on efficiency and increased, you know, the number of drinks that can be made in 30 minutes from 15 to 70, you know, whatever it is, I think just try to incorporate numbers that show, okay, I did X, Y, Z, and that resulted in this growth or in this change.
Earlier on, you had mentioned that you spoke to a couple of people when you were deciding between either going down the Bain route or taking like the marketing route with Google. Who exactly did you speak to? Like, did you reach out to alumni from ALU? Did you cold call people at Bain and Google just to hear their experiences? Who did you reach out to for that insight?
Okay, so I didn't cold call anyone. But so what I did was that I initially just focused on understanding the opportunities independently as opposed to focusing on the comparison. So when I interned at Google, I interned in the sales team. So I didn't intern in the team that I'm currently in or anywhere near the role that I'm currently in. So while I was doing my internship and I identified this role, I just made an effort to reach out to people all across the company who had this role and just ask them about the experience and ask them about, you know, what's great, what's not great, so that I could understand what this role entails, irrespective of how it compares to potentially being a consultant at Bain. So that was different because now with my time at Bain, you know, I'd interned there twice. So I had kind of like a better idea, you know, I had, you know, relationships with people that, you know, that also work there for a few years. So I was able to just observe what working there might be like. But then in terms of, you know, who I spoke to a number of people. I spoke to my parents. I spoke to some aunts who had worked at Bain before. I spoke to people who had worked at Bain and Google before. And in terms of how I found these people, they were just mostly people in my network or people that I would meet. It's not something that I publicized or like spoke about very widely, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would just feel like if there's someone that I could trust to get their input, then I would ask them.
You also volunteered with organizations like the Gates Foundation and the World Government Summit. And I'm curious to know, how does one get their foot in the door at such organizations? Like, how do you volunteer for Gates? And why is it important to plug into different communities, even through volunteering?
Sure. Yeah. So I think for me, as much as I enjoyed my time in corporate, I always had curiosity just about the nonprofit sector. And so when I did my internship in Japan, that was actually with a nonprofit organization. And I just wanted to explore that space a bit more. So with the opportunity with the Gates Foundation, there was basically somebody who was looking for interns and reached out to the ALU community, and we were able to apply, and they did, you know, a small group of people to actually do the job. So I think with that, you know, a lot of people were interested in the opportunity, but I think it's one of those things, if you just always focus on, you know, growing yourself and challenging yourself, then you end up preparing yourself for opportunities that you don't know exist yet. When this opportunity came up, I was able to position myself really well for the role, and I was able to stand out because of previous internships and previous work that I had done. But it's not like I couldn't have started preparing for that role when I found out about it. Yeah, so I mean, I was lucky that opportunity, you know, it was someone who really trusts the ALU network and, you know, wanted to recruit from there. And so I was lucky that opportunity found me, and I was prepared when it happened. And similar with the World Government Summit, this was a summit that the founder of the African Leadership Group, Fred Swanaka, was invited to, and he wanted to bring some students along with him as delegates to represent different SDGs. So how that worked was, again, it was like the applications were open to all students at the African Leadership University in Mauritius and in Rwanda. And then the World Government Summit team was selecting three students that they best felt could participate. One thing that I've been, you know, passionate about for a long time and done some projects and some work around has been women empowerment and promoting gender equality. And so even with the fashion show that I did and that I ran for a number of years, the theme is always empowering women and trying to do that through the arts. So when this opportunity came along, you know, obviously one of the UN SDGs is gender equality. I just positioned myself to represent that SDG. And that was what I was selected for.
You've had so many different experiences, whether in the nonprofit sector or in, you know, different aspects of the private sector. And so currently you run a paid professional development program with the aim of supporting young and upcoming professionals in their careers, where you share what you've learned, and you alluded to it in the beginning a little when you talked about kind of how to curate a good resume. And can you tell us a bit more about it, you know, where we can find more information? Yeah, feel free to share any information that you have on it.
Sure. So mostly my Instagram page. My Instagram page is dedicated to helping people navigate their careers and just sharing my journey, navigating my career and using my career to travel. So my Instagram handle at Malici_bliss if you're looking for me. So I basically do a combination of things. I do have a blog where, you know, I answer a lot of frequently asked questions around, you know, how to create a resume, how to ace an interview, how to write a cover letter, my story, getting an internship in Japan, getting an internship at Bain, working at Google, etc. But I think more so than that, I really try to stay just engaged with my Instagram community. And I, you know, frequently do like Q&A sessions and answer people's questions and share job opportunities, share learning opportunities, internship opportunities, etc. And I also give free resume feedback on my website. So anyone can go to my website, which is malcarrie.org, and submit their resume and get free feedback or ask a question that you need support with. And yeah, but I do also have a resume template that you can buy. You can buy my personal resume template that comes with a video where I just walk you through, you know, how I go about crafting my resume, and I walk you through my resume and give you some tips for yours, and share the template that I use, which is under $10. And then I also offer one-on-one coaching. So if there's maybe a specific job opportunity that you're targeting and you want me to walk you through that process, or if you just like to, you know, target an internship or you don't know where to start, those are all things that I help people with.
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. I will also add that to the description of the, I will add the name of your website and your Instagram handle to the description of this podcast episode so everyone can find it. So thank you for sharing that. And final question is, what would you say, you wish you had done better when you think about your professional career journey? And what do you think, what's one thing that you've done well and you would pat yourself on the back for?
Okay, so I think the thing that I've done well has come from the thing that I didn't do well initially. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, I think I started with kind of this naiveness to life that if I, you know, if I work really hard and if I just make sure that I am actually good at a certain skill or a certain something, then opportunities will just fall into my lap and life will work out. Life will work itself out and I'll do well and be successful and all of those great things. Mm-hmm. But I think I've learned the hard way that you have to always keep fighting for what you want. And it's never just handed to you, no matter how deserving you are of it. You do have to be proactive and sometimes even aggressive in pursuing it. And so I'll share a story about this. So when I, during my time at ALU, one of the things that I did was I interned in the career development department. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that department, you know, one of the things that's done there is, you know, internship opportunities are sourced for students. And then, you know, the department tries to match students to certain opportunities and sometimes, you know, filters through, decides who should go for an interview where, et cetera, et cetera. And there's normally, you know, a set of criteria that you need to meet to be pitched for what we call like top tier internships. So either internships at Fortune 500 companies or international opportunities. After interning at the career development department for a while, and even after, you know, you have to make sure that your academic record is straight, your financial record is good, you don't have a disciplinary track record, etc. When I, you know, decided that I wanted to pursue this internship at Ashinaga in Japan, and I saw that our career development team, you know, had a pre-existing relationship with the organization, I thought, okay, perfect, you know, I've met all the criteria, they should be willing to pitch me forward and put me forward for this opportunity. And I thought, you know, I've been great, I've been a good intern, I have a good internship track record, my academic record is fine, you know, I thought, This should be fine. This should just all work out just as I'd like it to. And then the career development team decided not to pitch me for that opportunity. Yes, and I remember I was truly shocked. I even had to inquire. Like I just didn't expect. I thought, you know, I'm deserving, you know?
Yeah.
Of course I should be put forward. And I remember that's when I learned that, you know what, if there's something that I really want, I can't depend on other people to get it for me. I have to go out there and get it myself. So that time I went onto the Ashinaga website and I saw that their internship openings had closed already. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no. Then I was like, okay, no, this is not going to stop me. So they had, you know, this contact us section on their website, and where they had like this open text box where you could write a note to them. You know, when people ask, you know, different help or yeah, whatever the case may be. So I used that section, which had like a word count limit, but I just used that section and I wrote them this pitch about how I wanted to intern at their organization and why I was qualified to do so and why they should consider me, even though the internship applications are closed.
Impressive.
And, I wasn't able to attach my resume because it was mm-hmm, it was a contact us form, but I told them I'd send them my resume as soon as they emailed me back. And the funny thing is that they did email me back and they asked me for my resume. I think it was like about 1 month before the internship. I went through the interviews and I ended up being the only person selected from my university to intern at Ashinaga that year. And they didn't take any of the other people that were pitched. And that's how I got that opportunity. And I guess that was just me learning that I had to be proactive and I had to fight for what I wanted, and me being deserving of it wasn't enough for me to get it.
Melissa, I don't think there's a better way to summarize today's episode, better way than the story that you just gave. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for being on this podcast. I really enjoyed interviewing you. I really enjoyed learning about your professional journey. And I'm certain that this episode is definitely going to be useful for a couple of people out there who are thinking, should I make the first step? Should I push myself? Yes, you should. Will you get opportunities if you're deserving and you don't put any effort? Probably not. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you so much, Hallie, and thank you so much for having me here, and all the best to everyone listening with their career journeys. And please do feel free to reach out to me if there's any way that I can help.
Thank you.